Hello, hello, namaste. Welcome to our call today. And let's start. I'm going to just chant something here today, and it's also in the first module. So just allow yourself to be just here, sit relatively straight, take a deep breath. And the topic today is really around mind, not something that we haven't talked about. And it's something we can talk about over and over again because it is something that's very tricky and yet very clear and easy. So maybe we'll find some more realization today in how to be as mind, within mind, move through mind. So I'm going to chant today this the Guru Brahma Vishnu mantra a few times, maybe three times, and really bringing light, bringing attention to the central nexus of all existence as the three forces that are called in the Vedas Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara, or Shiva, the eye, hearing, clinging, the forces of creation, the forces of maintenance, the forces of dissolution, as they are rotating or interplaying and held together and referring to and balanced out by the nexus of reality, which we call Source God. And Guru is the clarity or bringing light to things. So the light of Brahma, the light of Vishnu, the light of Maheshwara, the clarity, these forces in their balanced, centralized, neutral state are always one with this point, one with the core. Gurur Brahma, Gurur Vishnu, Gurur Devo Maheshwara, Guru Sakshat Parabrahma, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Om. Gurur Brahma, Gurur Vishnu, Gurur Devo Maheshwara, Gurur Sakshat Param Brahma, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Om. Gurur Brahma, Gurur Vishnu, Gurur Devo Maheshwara, Gurur Sakshat Parabrahma, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Om. So, the very interesting thing about the mind is that there's a foreground and background experience. I was actually outside this morning doing actually some yoga postures out in on the deck or porch, whatever you know I want to call it, and. And I have this beautiful blue sky today and not too hot. And as I'm, you know, doing these hatha asanas, at some point I forgot where I was because this happens when the bliss from the background of the mind comes forward. And suddenly I didn't realize there's trees and that I was actually outside. And This is a very common state for me. Usually, you know, when I wake up or I go to sleep, I have this state a lot throughout the day, where I basically just have to allow myself to go. I call it going inward. It's really a lot where the background is so dominant and it basically fills out and it's almost like it washes out, or it expands, you could say, or it drowns out, like a droning, because there's a sound that comes with it as well. There is a fullness and a presence that those that have been here for a while very much, you know. We call it bliss. When we talk about bliss in general, like when we, let's say, a normal person out there in the world, like, and I was one of them, when I heard bliss, I thought of bliss as something very different. It's a very tangible experience that has something to do with this, where there's a switch where the things that are so important and have meaning, because words, situations, story, experiences, thought, everything is thought, is so real, and it's identified, you know, as my life, my experience, and it's sort of, it's the central point through which we sort of relate to ourselves and the world around us. But when that gets sort of washed out or drowned out by this bliss from that is always at the bottom of the lake, you could say, or at the background of the mind, it just suddenly all disappears. Suddenly there is no trees. Suddenly there's no people. There's no story. There's nothing else. And on this path to enlightenment, this is something we cultivate, because we need to learn to disentangle and to unhook and unhinge ourselves from suffering. Because when we are identified with the thoughts and the ideas and a sense of I, there is the suffering that goes on. It's always in the background. We have lots of good energy and we're young. We can handle the suffering much more because there's vitality to kind of buffer it. As we get older and we've had a lot of experiences of suffering, it sort of wears out our energy. In fact, our aura becomes sort of more porous. There's leakage that goes on. There's all these things that happen, and suddenly we cannot, it's harder to endure, and because the vitality isn't really filling the aura up or patching it up, something that, you know, our vitality we were born with. So what we learn is here in any kind of true spiritual practice to allow ourselves to access again this source energy, we could say, this core energy from within, which has this blissful filling up, drowning out of the noise in the mind and the meaning. It's not just the noise, the busyness, it's the meaning that hooks us, because when the sense of I, you as a person, give meaning and make meaning with these thoughts and ideas, and that hooking is what is the suffering. So we basically, it's like taking paint and just kind of whiting it out, and then suddenly it's not there, and we're basically relaxing. But it's not even relaxing physically. It is as consciousness. We're suddenly, again, allowing ourselves to just not move, and we're just being ourselves. Consciousness is not reaching into the shadow, you could say, playing with it and feeding it with vitality. And so, therefore, we basically are filled up with energy, we revitalize, and we age a little slower, or we even turn the clock back because there's repairs on the field that happens. Now, there are voices that say, well, we can't just transcend and just not pay attention to this world, because then we are spiritually bypassing. And that's, of course, always a conversation that is out there because of everybody who doesn't understand, has not truly experienced freedom. because when you've really experienced it, then you know that you're not transcending really, you're not really bypassing, you're not leaving and going into denial. You actually realize the dream, that you realize how we are making the world a story, or giving it a certain meaning that it actually doesn't have. That's the best way to put it. And then we can meet the world more as it is, because as the bliss comes and goes, it billows, fills the mind, and then it recedes again, and then billows, just a little bit like the breath. Sometimes it stays for a very long time. I mean, it can stay for months so strongly, you know, where you can't move or you can't do much. But these are usually phases, and when some real spiritual reintegration takes place, and then it recedes again, and is not as loud, you could say, the bliss isn't as loud and overwhelming. You yourself are suddenly more in the senses again, and paying attention to the forms and the play of light, which causes, you know, shadow and light, and the duality that causes us to experience, you know, something we can talk about, which is also very beautiful. But this play is then has sort of a shimmer. There is a shimmer to it, and it's never really as stark anymore and as real, or we're not so caught in it. So the mind is such a fascinating tool, or what a manifestation. I'm not sure. Don't want to even want to give it any name, but the thing is that everything is mind, and we're constantly using the mind. In the mind, we are mind. It has different densities. We know that our body is mind as well, although inside the story and the drama, we make these differentiations between the mind, the soul, the spirit, and the body. But in essence, it's all mind anyway, because there is that which cannot be spoken of, which is prior to the existence of mind. And then there is mind with everything, with all the, you could say, anatomical pieces to it, these sort of subcategories, you know. And because of that, because it's just one thing, it's let's take a, in geometry, we take a dot and then we extend it into a line. And then basically we shove, you know, the dot back in. The line back into the dot, then we have only a dot, or we can basically extend it again, and there's a line, and there's a story, and then when we meditate, or we're just sitting still, and this line gets shoved back into the dot, and there's only the dot. So there's only just that, and it can appear differently. So the art is, the mastery is to kind of catch yourself, you know, how you see things, how you are you really in it? Are you embroiled in the world? Is this all very real, or are you experiencing sort of the shimmer, the suffusion of bliss or light in your experience? When you are in the non-dual state of mind and you look into the world, you will have a sense of gazing. Nothing seems more important than anything else. There is a sense of everything is equal. When we are more in the duality, then there is a very stark polarization and taking of sides, and it's very black and white. And that sense of black and white creates a constriction in the prana, and we are basically not in our core, and that doesn't feel comfortable. So let's kind of look right now into your own here being here as I'm talking, you're listening, or you're listening in replay. And how do you really feel? Do you feel just really present here? And you look in the room and everything seems to be just, you know, equally important. It's sort of, you can see things, but you're not tethered to it. Or maybe you are very tethered to it. Maybe you're bothered by something. Maybe something draws you out. You just notice that. Maybe you feel, if you kind of put your attention more closer to your head or inside of your head, you might find there's this shimmering sound, like the Om This is something that, in essence, actually, when you kind of follow that, it's actually all around you. It's in the body. It's also in the space around you in the room. It's actually here all the time. So become very aware of these different manifestations of manas and buddhi and the self, you could say, you know, the nexus of everything. And manas is the mind that is polarized, and buddhi is the mind that is meditative and inward and equal and calm and serene. And then there's the self that is just here, that can't be talked about, it's just present. And all these are sort of components we become aware of more and more. And even if the mind is very busy, or the body, which is also mind, right, has a lot of activity, maybe the nervous system is very active. Maybe there are impulses in the hormonal system and the nervous system that seem very loud or noisy. Digestion can be noisy as well, can be distracting. You know, all these, the forms can be doing their dramas. At the same time, we can find the light between the noise and the bliss between the noise. And inside the noise, we can find it as well, because everything has a center. Everything is really made of the same substance. Everything is one. So we can always refer back to ourselves and ask ourselves, how do I experience life right now? Am I very polarized? Am I actually present? Am I transcendent? Transcendent? Present, I would say, is when you are very right in that samadhi, where you are really present. You're clear. You can be in action. And you are not attached to anything. You're very neutral in a really healthy way. When you're transcendent, it's like you're drawn in, and your senses are less involved, and your inner world and inner experience of bliss is much stronger. And you're transcending for a moment the world to basically be reborn. It's like you're dying to the world for a moment, and then you come back. It happens in sleep, it happens in correct meditation, it happens in orgasm. It happens when you literally for a moment are just consciously not engaging with the forms and the senses, what the senses present. Because we know that the senses are creating the pictures in the mind. It's all the nervous system playing it out, and then we see these things. And there's no difference between dreaming at night and walking through the day, which is also a dream. So we're always dreaming. So that's what's going to talk about the bliss that is can bring the shimmer to life. I'm going to look at here, any hands up. I got Davy here, so I'm just going to take your call here, Davy. Hi.
Hi, Rasima.
Hi.
Thank you for that. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yes, I can now.
I have two questions, and then I want to sit with you.
Mm-hmm.
So my first question is, I'm pretty aware of the background, the silence, and it's more and more permanent. But I noticed that the minute that I start talking or I start doing anything, I kind of get lost.
Okay, well, let's do this right. Practice right now. Like, as you keep talking to me, stay, even sometimes sitting right and being kind of anchored and grounded, that actually helps. And allow yourself to talk almost from behind the head or a little bit backwards. Not so much funneling your thoughts to the front of the forehead, but a bit more inside. It's almost like you're... It's almost like you're talking into the space, not directly at me like an arrow, but just kind of diffusing. Try that.
But when I'm in that state, I usually don't want to talk. And
yeah, I know. In the beginning, it's hard. You can't. You can only do this or that. We're practicing. You'll be able to do this one day. So just try. Just use your breath. Just
okay.
And just yeah, give yourself this. Try to work this out. Either you'll be able to do a little bit.
I mean, just from this space, it's just there's no resistance and there's no agenda. Everything is fine.
Mm-hmm. That's true, but there is something that comes from the soul that arises, and the soul has also things to say. So you can actually now more clearly speak from your heart. So if there's something you just what that your heart, your soul wants to talk about. Because you had two questions. Do you really have another question, or was this just your mind?
The second question is more for the mind and more for confirmation.
Mm-hmm. About what?
And it was, I usually do meditation twice per day, mm-hmm. one in the morning, one in the evening, but lately I switch it up. I meditate during in the morning and then like evening I do yoga,
mm-hmm.
and I just feel very unsettled, and I know that's a lot of energy coming. I have been feeling it. I just don't know, should I go back to the same routine, just do two meditation, or just keep it this way? Like, because I'm not feeling good. Like, I don't feel it.
Okay, so when you start to do yoga asanas, You can end. You will either have a shavasana, right, where you lie down, or you can sit and just and cross-legged and put your hands in gya and mudra and fingers and thumbs together, or palms down. Either way, what feels right, and then you would just sit and meditate. You can meditate there for maybe 5 to 11 minutes, but my question is, you feel more unsettled since you've been doing this yoga in the evening instead of meditating. Is that what I understood?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you're feeling unsettled, then you go back to what makes you feel settled. So, because you are also, you know what, when we do yoga, we do two different, the main, there's two different types of yoga. So I don't know exactly what you do, but there's a certain amount of energy that gets also generated. And you need to ground that energy as well. You need to basically, it can stimulate things, it can stimulate Shakti. That can be very nice, but depends also what you do. It could be more like an exercise, you know, and then you have to sort of, come at the end of the day, you want to be clear, yeah. And so you do something that brings you back to that clarity. So maybe add a little bit of meditation at the end. If you really look at it, are you doing it because you want to cultivate awareness, or you want to exercise? Why are you
cultivate awareness? Also, I feel like the body needs to move. It's so
mm-hmm.
it's so heavy and so many things.
Yeah,
I just and feel weight down.
Yeah, there's a lot of shadow moving through. I've been moving a tremendous amount of collective shadow through. Even last night I was up for 2 hours just moving it through. It's like chunks, like it goes on and on and on. It's quite fascinating, actually. So, yeah, and that's right. So we do need to move the body, and it's also what I suggest for the course, because otherwise even my energy, my Shakti, and the world's energies will, you know, it gets sort of stuck in your joints and other places, and then makes it uncomfortable. So you can, for example, do what we call yin yoga as well, where you basically do these postures and you do them, you maybe do 2 or 3, and you hold them for a very long time, up to 15
okay.
minutes, and you breathe and you go really deep, and that kind of, because everything starts to soften, and then the fascia starts to untangle, and the prana can run, and you will feel very much cleaner and very deeply relaxed. Maybe that helps. Yeah, it's really, you can make it a moving meditation. Those for you, of you, by the way, that are coming to the retreat or are online for the retreat, I will be focusing on a moving meditation, actually. So it's like a form of Qigong with zikr. And so I'm very aware that we need to move energy through the body right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Can I just sit with you real quick?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So be aware also, Devi, that just almost like an inner statement that you're in your own field, in your own energy, but you don't have to interact with the world around you energetically. Because I do know that the world is very busy, right? There's a lot of people, they're in fear, and there's all this stuff. But just kind of know that you can have your own little haven, like, you know, you're like an oasis into yourself, your whole field, and to just kind of confirm that. And
okay,
that
thank
causes
you.
Yeah, okay, good. It's all right. This is California. This is oh god, I can't remember. Sally, I can't see your name right now in my front of me. Sally, it's you. I don't know why.
Hi. Anyway, I had a question about some years ago. You asked about, you told us about a sacred sound. You can hear a sound. You said something on one day about who can hear a sound. And I was hearing a sound at that time, and it changed. And actually, I think it went away. At least it wasn't. It kind of faded into the background. I didn't hear it that much. And then now lately, in the past few months, I'm hearing a much louder sound. And I'm wondering, is it spiritual, or is it, I cannot distinguish whether it's spiritual or whether it's a neurological sound, but it's not like tinnitus or anything like that. It's just a sound that I keep hearing, and it's like a high-pitched, very high-pitched sound.
Yeah, that's normal. That is definitely normal. That's what I'm talking about. I hear it all the time, too. It's usually a sign there's a lot of spiritual energy. There was a person that was, I think some real estate agent, that came to our house and just said, what's this ringing here? It's so hot. It's just like a sound. And I'm like, yeah, because when you go to places that temples or something, you enter them, then suddenly there's a sound you hear. It's like the Arutaram Jyoti, you know, the light itself has this very high pitch. It's almost like it can break glass. It's that kind of sound. And what it does, it transforms your body. It's very physical.
Yeah, and sometimes it's annoying.
Well, it can be annoying. It can be annoying if you are polarizing yourself to it. You have to become the sound. You give into it. You become it. And do this right now. It's like then you don't even hear it because you're right in it. You're being it.
Well, like when I'm talking with you, I'm not hearing it so much. It's still there in the background, and I thought maybe it was EMF, maybe it was, you know.
Yeah.
That was bothering me.
If it comes to
a lot of that around me where I live.
Okay. If it comes to the foreground, do you feel like it deepens your, there's an energy in your body, it deepens sort of a sense of well-being?
No, I can't say that. I have to say that it's just neutral as far as for bringing me any sense of comfort or anything like that. Hmm. It doesn't. It's just there.
Hmm.
And
I find that
it's very high pitched.
Yeah, if it's very fine and clear sound, it's just life itself. But anything that's sort of created by artificial intelligence, like these kinds of things, I find them extremely disturbing in a sense that they're almost like, it gets my Kali energy going. My whole body goes into defense because it's an attack usually. So if there's anything around you that is literally attacking life, you will feel extremely on edge, actually. There's something not right. But I don't get that when I'm talking to you right now.
No, I don't feel that way. No. It's just, that I hear it.
Yeah, you can do this. I've never done this, but you can always ask spirit to translate the sound into light and to balance it out more with light and then see if something starts changing. You can do this maybe in the beginning of the meditation, and then you just basically wait for spirit, you know, your higher self, to begin to make some shifts inside you and balance out light and sound, you know.
Yeah, okay. And I'm also getting all this pain. I'm so glad you spoke about energy getting stuck in our body, because I've been wondering what in the world is happening. All of a sudden, I'm starting to have all this pain everywhere. And I'm moving a lot, but I'm not doing yoga. I've just been very busy.
Yeah, and but being busy is not really, it's cause of more. It's because being consciously moving the body, like consciously instead of unconsciously, is a huge difference. Unconscious causes more stress. Last night, one of the things that I guess was mentioning, I was up a couple hours, I noticed that I had to move my entire body into new registry. I was driving yesterday, I had to go shopping, and I was driving, and I can tell my eyes are just not, something not right, the way I can't see very clearly. I knew I was some outer register, because I'm shifting constantly out of this draconian measures. That's what I do, right? I kind of don't go with it. I slip out of it. And so I took a few, pretty much a day and a half, but then last night I could literally see it, like, and then it clicked in. It's like it's like, you know, if you click something in. And when you're not really in a register with the, let's call it the divine template, and there is, then, you know, my joints, for example, or anything, I just suddenly, I will tweak myself, or something doesn't sit right. So it has a lot to do with that, that then suddenly pains come up, because your body or your energy, your mental field of how you think your body is, you know, cause is sort of lagging behind and needs to kind of step up a little bit. So try to find 10 minutes where you consciously move, yeah, where you stretch and move and breathe. It'll make a huge difference.
Okay. Could I sit with you for a moment?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Just sit relatively straight, Sally, and just relax. Let your shoulders sink. Deep breath. And just kind of just dropping out of all the things that you have to do. Just know they're already done. Future already exists, already all, everything already happened. You can just kind of lean back into yourself. And what the sound is concerned is also just another perception. It's a very fine perception, but we're still also perceiving that, and the interest or the curiosity or the relation to the sound that can also just sort of drop away. Okay, there's much more movement of energy right now. Can you feel that?
Yeah.
That's good. All right. Thanks, Sally. You're welcome. Thanks. This is Shelly. Hey, Shelly.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
I was wondering today if I could, and I'm at, just to go back to what everybody is speaking about, I have definitely been feeling the collective really bad here in Illinois today. And as a matter of fact, just a major, massive storm moving through. But I was wondering if I could just sit with you today.
Mm-hmm.
No questions.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, sir.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Your energy is, I know you do a lot of pranayama, your energy is moving from backwards and then switches forwards in cycles and then backwards again. It's very interesting. I've never seen this before.
I can feel it.
You can feel it too, right? Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, thank you.
All right, you're welcome. We have 3364. Is that
hello, Fatima?
Yes, that's Nadia. Hi, 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 Nadia.
Yes, hello. I don't have a question. I wanted to see if we could sit, and then maybe if you can see something or have a suggestion to make.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, let's do that. Definitely, you're doing something because there's way more light in your third eye. What are you doing? Doing the concentration exercises?
I would say I'm not doing anything special, to be honest. I'm trying to meditate every day. I'm keeping up my asana practice, and I'm just following the course, and something is happening.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. Yeah, I've never seen light inside of your head. So there's light. Bring your attention back to it. Just close your eyes, whatever you did, and just notice. Maybe you can see it yourself where you're noticing something. What's your experience?
Actually, before you mentioned it, I was in my heart, and now I'm bringing the attention to the head. To be honest, until you mentioned it, I wasn't aware of it at all, but now I can kind of see it, that there is light. But it's still like I'm not really sure of it, you know, I kind of see it and then it disappears.
Yeah, it'll come and go in the beginning, but yeah. So just continue to stay in your heart, which is, you know, the heart opens when there's light in the mind, right? When you're not polarized and the heart opens. So that's what's happening. And so this is why you're in the heart and you're feeling okay doing your thing, doing all these, you know, without the stress or anything, but you're just sort of, kind of plugging along. That's very good. You're sort of in this sort of, you're in a groove, you know? Yeah, good. Okay. Awesome.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. We are in New York. This is Danielle.
Hi, Ratna.
Hey.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering a similar thing, if we could just sit and then if you had any suggestions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nothing particular. You're a bit of in a dissolution right now. I don't know if you can feel that. Can you feel that?
Yeah.
Just let it happen. Just let it happen. So it's just actually moving quite nicely. So just let it happen. That's good.
Thank you.
We got Danica here. Danica, hi, Danica.
Hi, Rakima.
Hi.
I did have a question. And now I've got mass confusion coming up, so I don't even know if this is going to make sense.
Good.
You mentioned, yeah, good, right? You mentioned that your mind almost is like an entity. And I'm wondering if you talk a little bit about that and about the separation that causes, because that's how I experience my mind, or that's how I'm starting to experience my mind, is that it is actually like this outside entity that pulls me out of my core. And it gets sneakier and sneakier the more aware I become of it to pull me out. And so... I know that I have a lot of entities and stuff around me, or I have in the past. So I'm always scared that if I'm reabsorbing that in, that I'm not actually absorbing myself in. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. So now, great question. The mind itself, we just sometimes say this, but it's actually the ego. It is the idea of who we are that's in the mind that is pulls us out and can be very sneaky. And some people have that depending on maybe astrological tendencies, karmic tendencies or something, where that sort of, I remember one person specifically who felt really attacked by his own mind constantly, especially once he started to do some, I think he did a course on miracles, and they work a lot with this kind of mind, right? So he started to really feel attacked by his mind. And we always come to this place where the mind becomes almost like we have a sense we can see it. It's like separate. The thinking is really separate. And then when we are very steady in the core, we can actually just basically shut the mind down and say, stop. You know, you really just say stop.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, of course, you know, in the next module coming up here in a few days, you'll be learning the polarity processing. I would suggest then to actually really kind of take 10 minutes here and there to just really kind of, we're going to basically take this, whatever that is, and basically put to rest. We're going to dissolve it. We're going to clear it, you know, in that way. So there are ways to clear that. So right now, in this moment as we're speaking, can you identify within yourself this other thing that wants to pull you out? Can you identify that?
Yeah, because it feels like it's separate. Like you mentioned that you can actually see it when you're in your core, and I can actually, it's like, feels like it's, and looks like it's separate.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So in terms of healing, you know, this is sort of a, we can call it a healing process. You can basically, there's different ways of working with that, and where we basically can, we can communicate with it, we can look at it, what it looks like, we can go into it, we can find what voices it has, because it has a voice. It maybe says, tells you to do something, eat a lot of food, or whatever these entities are. So we learn to basically clear them. So you'll learn the polarity process next time. And for right now, go with where you're, does it bother you? Is the fear, what is the main emotion that comes up when you're actually seeing it?
I think it's fear. I think mm-hmm. it's mostly fear. But in the polarity processing is that, I've done that before with you. So
okay. Okay, so you remember the squares?
Now.
Okay, yes.
Yep.
Another thing is when you know it's fear, what you can do is the opposite is love, right? You can balance out, neutralize it by sending love to it, actually. You just, I love you, and you can actually flow love to it. And then you basically take the edge off because it's just a lack of love there, you know?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, Arantu.
Okay.
May I sit with you for a moment?
Yeah. Okay. Neti neti tatsam asi. This is a yanic expression of not this, but that. We choose what we really are. We are that which is, you know, what we are. And everything we can perceive is not really real. It's our shadows. So we begin to learn more and more also intellectually and through insight that whatever we perceive is not really real. We don't have to fear it. We are fearing it, but we're learning also that we don't have to, and that with time, basically, this sort of subsides and we become more neutral towards it, and then it dissipates. The only reason why certain things exist are in order for us to become conscious of what kind of programming we have. So if there's programming of fear inside, and this is collectively right now happening, fear and the fear of death is collective homework right now. Yeah, for everybody, you know. So we basically become conscious, you know, through the events around us and also within our own energy field, what needs to be put to rest. So for you, it's like fear, and love is definitely good medicine for that. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I have Reem here. Hi, Reem.
Hi, Aratima. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm very grateful to be able to talk to you today. I just wanted to sit with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So some consciousness is sort of, or I would say light is penetrating in your, into your body, physical body. And your second chakra, there's a tremendous amount of movement. You're digesting karmas right now. It's just lots of karmas. Lots of karma. Can you feel that? Like the heat that generates?
Yes, I actually feel it, but I'm also very grateful. I have this immense gratitude too at the same time. So I'm like content with this processing I'm doing. And I've also been revisiting, like, you know, basic squares that I was doing, like a victim and tyrant came very, very strong. And I remember it was one of my first squares. And it's interesting that, you know, 5 years later, it came back with such force.
So I just talked about yesterday about victim tyrant is a really good polarity to do right now.
Was it on the healings?
Talked to it privately to yesterday, last night, to Kim, you know, who lives here. I said, it's really important to do this right now. Actually, I said that I'm going to pull out my old notebooks or get a notebook and actually just go through all these collective things that we're experiencing. I'm going to just do squares on that because it is in my world. I can see it, right?
That's exactly what I've been doing. And to the extent that I was like, I remember doing this square so many times, but... Lately, it was just like crazy, you know. I just went back and I had to do it again. So thank you for validating that. I thought it was crazy. But
no, you know, absolutely. And it's such a basic foundation of the attraction aversion dynamic that it holds this 3D together, right? So that's why we have to keep unlocking it. But you do have sparkles of light and space in yourself. So I can see it. The more you clear this, and the more your cells will be dropping out of this drama of it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, thank you. This is Winona. And Winona?
Yes. Hi, Aratima.
Hi there.
Hi. Thank you for this call. It's everyone speaking again is speaking for me too. I was when you were talking to Davey about being her own oasis, and not having to participate energetically. I think you said it's like I'm just wondering if you know I just can have more clarity around that of the sense. There's what came up for me was almost this sense of obligation to energetically participate, right, at times.
Interesting. It's funny because I was just, you know, hearing somebody else talk about something very similar. And I think this is possible that, you know, maybe women have a tendency for that more often because, you know, through our nature of being matter and one with the earth or, you know, identification with the earth. So that's almost like we're like the mother for all and everything because to our impulse of giving birth and all that. But the truth is that we are not the body. If you just think about it for a moment again, we're not the body, and body comes with energy. Energy and all is all still physical, right? Something we can touch, sense internally through our awareness. We are that which is beyond everything. We're the self. And so that's what you anchor yourself in and let the self then radiate out its existence. And it sets everything into a proper dynamic harmony within the field of relations, the way a native person would say, we're all we're all in relation with everything, but it has to be. But we can get lost, right, and just are over responsible and over processing energies. And I know that's very, just instinctual for especially for women, I think. And if you have more of a water quality to you and you're very cohesive, it's really hard like to really separate the forms, right? It's just all like one existence and you're in that. And, you know, where's you? Yeah. Where does the world around you start, right? It's very challenging. So all you have to do is to come really to the center of who is aware of all this, you know? Who are you really?
And the anchoring into the self, then, you know, what you're saying, so with the water, for sure, the separating it into forms is very challenging, almost because it feels like I'm separating them just to bring them back together, right? Mm-hmm. In a way, like,
yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yes, you separate and then let the self, the source, bring it back together. Exactly, bring it back together. Yeah, exactly. So we step out of the egoic patterning and let then the divine take over and rearrange everything.
And then when it's all rearranged, then is it, there's still a participation in this world that we're in? But it, and is it also an energetic participation, but just from self, or is it?
Yes, it's portioned properly. So it is properly portioned, and it can be still challenging because even after enlightenment, you continue to evolve. Evolution goes on forever. So an evolution has always to do with some kind of a certain stress, a certain pressure. Otherwise, it doesn't. You know, like just the baby gets pushed out by the mother, there's a push there, there's a pressure. So that doesn't mean it's all like soft and fluffy all the time. That's way too boring. That's not the way life is set up. It's
definitely not.
No way.
Would that also then like explain, like I've noticed the body and like there's just been such a challenge in settling down, like to meditate and everything. Like it's a busy mind thing, but it seems beyond that. It's like almost like an integration, and maybe it's an avoidance of the integration, or maybe it's just that I just need to move my butt, you know, like there's just this challenge of settling down.
I have this picture right now, like let's say you already moved or something, you did, but you still have a challenge and sit down and just act it out, like let your arm flop around and like I don't know, whatever you want to do, make funny faces or lift your, you know, let your body move like it has a mind of its own. It kind of can be very creepy, but just let it happen. You might find that it's, you know, it's called sometimes unwinding in Korean psychotherapy. It's like let it just do its thing, and because there's obviously energies and that your nervous system runs and it's just overcharged, and of course it can be generated by you thinking all the time and not being neutral enough, let's put it that way. And you know, this obsessive neurotic behavior that the ego has, every ego has. And so you can kind of let the body, because the body is like, I always say the body is like a beautiful pet, right? It just follows. It's just, you know, it just does what, you know, we kind of go in there, like, you know, into a suit and then drive it nuts, you know? So we just,
Okay. So then with that, like I'm thinking, like it was a crazy week when I look at what was going on for me, but it was also very like a week of coming to a lot of beautiful releases and clarity on non-attachment and relationships. And I'm thinking with family, sister-in-law, that kind of stuff, right? Like really clear that there's just no reason to have a relationship with people that aren't, you know, that are wanting to jab at a person, literally and figuratively, as we know. So with that, like, what I found myself going into this week was, like, the anger and the outrage was being released to the extent, like, I just drove around in my car and screamed. And yet there was this thing of being present with it. Like, I was there. My whole body was shaking and there was just so much outrage at everything. But, you know, and of course it was projected in that direction, but it was more just like, oh. And yet there was this sense of watching it at the same time and just feeling so almost gleeful, like so happy it was happening, like so freeing.
Yeah, so that's good. You're releasing that extra energy and you are aware of it at the same time. And
okay.
That's good.
Okay, and so that extra energy, like you say, if I'm allowing the body to move it and that, and maybe that's all that's been.
You know, like, let me just, because I think we have, I can see something here. Let me just use the analogy of going to the bathroom. We just go to the bathroom every day, and we're just neutral about it, and it's just what happens. We release things that are become a burden to the body, and the body doesn't want. It doesn't belong there. So the same is true for our other energies on a subtle level. They need to be released as well without us having an idea about that's wrong. You know what I'm saying?
I just have this picture of me sitting on the toilet and crapping it all out. But you know, like, because I hear what you, I think I know what you're saying. Like,
yeah, because we're so trained to behave, we're trained to have a certain behavior and what we look like, and but that's all just, it's all part of this crazy programming of the, because the ego has an image, we have an image, and we try to fit into this image. But the fact is that things are moving through us, and it's this balance of like this lack of energies and there's excess of energies. If there's excess of energies, sometimes they just need to be released, and if there's a lack, then we have to harness and gather energy through rest or other ways, or breathing. And of course, when we learn to be neutral and remain neutral, then this balancing out is becomes more and more natural, and is and it remains more in balance, you know, between too much and too little, and then it's life's more pleasant, you know.
Yes, and as you're saying that, I'm seeing that, you know, I think I've spent my whole life, most of my life thinking I don't have enough energy, but I think I have an excess that's just repressed, right? That's always being, and what a free feeling not to have to be nice. And then I feel energy surges through the body and in my heart, right, when I realize I don't have to be nice anymore.
Well, especially at your age, like at our age, the energy is very intense and potent, and you can't repress it. It might work still when we're small, young women at the age of 22, where the aura doesn't have that kind of caliber. But at this point, it becomes harmful, and it turns into diseases, right? So we need to have the energy needs to go in the right places. Yeah, we have more responsibility, right? And it becomes bigger and bigger. The more enlightened you become, you're dealing with huge forces. Like huge forces, and it's like a, I always liken it to like a Ferrari. You drive 400 kilometers an hour. You can't afford to look to the right or to the left and just, oh, that's a nice birdie. And it doesn't work. You crash. You can't get distracted. You're so in the core, and there's only your attention on the self at all times. You're so, and the speed of it, the high vibration of the enlightenment itself, will make you look ahead only. You don't. You. It would take a lot of effort to turn to the right or the left. It's not possible.
And then when, if you do use that effort, that's when the depletion happens, or the disease, or the death, or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Yeah.
Exactly.
Because you're. Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, thank you, Rachma. May I just sit with you for? Yeah. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Just notice also that the whole story about all of this, about my child, my this people doing that and all this, just notice it's all drama. Okay, I'll let you go now.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. You're welcome. This is John in England. Hi, John.
Hi, Rachma.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
There's a lot of crackling. Let's see if this goes away.
Okay, I'm sorry, it's my phone, so
It's getting better. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I would like to ask you if you would sit with me and comment afterwards if there's any ideas you could give me.
Okay, I'll just mute you while I'm doing that so it's not so noisy. Okay. Okay, open your crown a little bit. Just imagine a lotus opening up. Some energy is getting kind of stuck before. So just open yourself up into the infinite. No limits. Nothing needs to be controlled, understood. It's already clear. Yeah, just trusting. Good. I'm unmuting you again. Do you feel a little bit more settled energetically?
Yes. Yes, that was great. And I have been feeling unsettled. Mm-hmm. I'm aware of it.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's just for you, it's just really opening up between the third eye and the crown. So that whole area needs to kind of clear out a bit. And because, you know, I know you've been starting to exercise and all this. So that extra vata that was sort of in the body and this, you know, all that, it's going to have to kind of clear out. And it's probably just backlogging for you. So just go into trust. And it's and just really just when you breathe, just expand, just think of expanding and just trusting, and I think it'll help. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Okay. We have two more here, and one is Kim. That's Kim. Hi.
Hi, Ratwa. Thank you for this call. I wondered if you could just sit with me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Was there something else? Was there something else?
Well, yeah. I feel like I am moving something through, and it feels kind of stuck in my right temple area. And it has a lot to do with what we were talking about with the tyrant and the victim. Like, I was able to really see those programs, and mm-hmm. but there was a lot of confusion. As I was watching them, like I almost felt like that they were like there was tentacles reaching out to try and keep pulling me back into them, and then I kept pulling myself back out of them. But it's almost like there's a chunk that's stuck in the top of my head.
Okay. Yeah, it makes sense. Let's do this. If we were in the healing school, we would kind of work with it in a certain way. But what we would do here is this is what we would do here.
Okay.
Here. There is when we watch something, even for neutral, there is still a little bit of energy. It goes to the thing. There's a little bit of a relationship between you and that which you're watching. So there has to be more disinterest, knowing that that is not real. A little less like curiosity. Just try to turn that totally off. It's just so boring. Who cares? Go to that a little bit more right now. And especially when things are in the body so strongly and just almost like feel like a smile, like, oh, you're so, actually you're really happy. You don't have to really smile, but there's a lifting of like, almost like the corners of the mouth, and it brings you more into your soul and it shifts you out of the identification of the egoic drama. There, can you feel that?
Yeah, I feel it receding. Because I was watching it too much. I couldn't take my eye off.
Yeah, it caught you. Like, look how interesting I am. Yeah, I know. Like TVs, you always have to look at the screen, right? Isn't it horrible? All right. Good. Okay. Thank you. You're welcome. This is Louise. Hi, Louise.
Hi, Adatima. This isn't probably technically a question for WLS, but if there's time or if you feel moved, is there anything more you can say about the astrology diagrams that you shared? I think it was in the healing group and kind of the next 6 months or what we might be aware of or how we can support.
Okay, I can finish up with that. You know, I'm not an astrologer, but I do follow astrology, and I understand the planets and their energies. And and I've been following it for my own astrology for really clearly, I think, the 99 or something for a long time. Now, I just use them as focal points and anchor points, specifically because when you have a chart, let's say there's a chart, a birth chart, let's say it's your birth chart. It has an energy that emanates from it because there are symbols of the planets and the constellations. It's a mathematical diagram of you, the moment you were born, of your whole life, all the karmas and all energies. And it's a complex symphony, you could say. So looking at a chart in itself, there's an energy comes off from a chart.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting. I mean, if you can really feel the different energies because of how the different planets are playing on each other with their energies. Some are restricting, some confirming, and trining and squaring and all that. Now, I just took a snapshot of screenshot of two particular charts, and one is for sure from the United States, and the others I think as well. But it doesn't really matter because it's collective for everybody that Jupiter is moving into Pisces. Interestingly, I have in my birth chart Jupiter in Pisces, interestingly, which is part of my healer triangle, which is a water sign. But it has a lot to do with water and flooding next year, and it can be emotionally but physically, which we see we had Pisces, Jupiter in Pisces this year briefly, June, July, when all this flooding happened worldwide, remember in Germany and everywhere. Mm-hmm. So next year there's strong, very strong chances for huge flooding. Like, and water problems. And the other thing is that the Pluto return for the United States, which is a longer thing, several years. So the other chart is for several years, which is pretty much reclaiming back the freedom of the American people and redoing their constitution or at least returning back to it, which, you know, there was a civil war back then, mm-hmm. which indicates a fight of some sort. Now, will the fight be physically or will the fight be mentally? We will have to see. And I think one of the things is why, because we know when we do spiritual practice, be it flowing energy, chanting mantras, doing prayers, doing puja, whatever it is, you know, we basically alter from breaking a leg to stubbing a toe, right, mm-hmm. or nothing. So it is a focal point for people because it's such a complex idea. You know, it's like if I say, okay, let's pray that everything's going to be peaceful, it's too generic. But when we have actually the chart itself, it's literally the thing, our future visibly in front of us. And we basically then, we don't have to actually see all the details. It can be small on your phone, but it's a focal point. Your spirit knows, oh, it's this whole like, complex next, you know, years for all of humanity on all levels, the destiny of humanity. If you run love and light into that, which I actually I can confirm that people have done this because I can see it. Mm-hmm. I look at the chart and there's a lot of light now. So that means that we're all basically changing the outcome, what it looks like. It's going to look softer and better than what it could be if we basically have more polarization in the world and more fear. Make sense?
Beautiful. Yes, thank you. And I could feel, right, that it just happens automatically. I have it on my computer when I happen to, like, flip to it, that I just feel, like, illumination happening when I look at it.
Mm-hmm. Good. Oh, that's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you. I have one more person here. It's Linda in Vancouver Island. Hi, Linda.
Oh, hello, Arachina. It's such a pleasure to hear your voice. I've so wanted to connect. Yeah. I'm out camping, and I get thrown off the call, and then these boats are around me making more noise. So if you need to mute me, please do.
I just
wanted to thank you. Oh, my God. This was like a tailor-made call for me because all the words you used, everything was just like bing, bing, bing. And I could really feel the shift. What you did last night, this morning, and I really wanted to thank you for that, because that was like, breathing free again. Anyway, so also the concept of tyranny and freedom and looking at why my problem, and it's because it's multi-layered and past and all that stuff, is that I was pushing for freedom, so that there's that push. It wasn't like being in the core and expanding out. Just expanding out freedom. So I really.
Oh, we're cutting out here, Linda. Let's try again. Let's wait a minute. That's the campground. Hello? We can't hear you right now. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just sit with you for a moment and maybe your voice will come back. Nice light. So, yeah, you can write in, or maybe write in the Facebook group, or write here on the call here, and we will finish the thought. I'll just mute you now because you're gone. Thanks, though. Thanks for trying. Yeah, I'd love to hear what you want to say. So, all right. Thank you. Let's just sit for a moment and take a deep breath. Breath is freedom. And it's really who we are. We are the spirit. We are the breath moving in and out of this body, this form. Being grateful that we have this form. We'll let it just be and express naturally the body while increasing awareness in it. And very big picture right now is that we've been here many times in this dream, in this point, many, many times. Always a little bit of a different flavor, a different coloring. And it's the moment when, again, there is a more intense struggle at the basis of life and death, which causes huge jumps in evolution of realization of who we really are, who each person is. So, with some gratitude and rising to the challenge, knowing that it already happened, thank you, thank you, thank you. And at the same time, including our humanity, the soul itself that is sort of embedded in light and dark and weaves in and out and does this journey of love, really, a dance of love, just like Lalita dancing and spiraling while creating and dissolving the universe. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I will see you in a few days and have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Thanks. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.